stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Omegamon XE for IMS Historical Performance Analysis and Best Practices. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how Omegamon XE for IMS with its trio of facilities can help you meet monitoring requirements for historical trending and performance analysis. The speaker for today's teleconference is Ed Woods, Consulting IT Specialist. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to Mr. Ed Woods. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Again, my name is Ed Woods with IBM Corporation. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend today's webcast. I trust you'll find this an informative and interesting discussion on Omegamon XE for IMS, history options, collection capabilities, etc. This is a presentation version of an article that I'd written about not quite a year ago that's also available for a download on CCR2 on the IBM.com website. I have a URL reference, so you can download that article as well, and I'll have that at the end of today's presentation. So what we're going to talk about today is Omegamon XE for IMS, but we're going to focus not so much really on the real-time capabilities of the tool, but on the history collection options and capabilities. There are several different ways you can gather history using Omegamon XE for IMS, and the data, the nature of the data, the analytic value of the data will vary depending upon what the collector is that you're using, how you're gathering the data, how you may or may not be summarizing the data, and then, of course, that in turn then drives, how you might use the data, and then also going into it, depending upon your requirements, that might in turn drive which of these various options you might choose to use. So going to the agenda slide, the second slide, so what are the history collection capabilities of Omegamon XE for IMS V4.1? First, we'll talk a little bit about the Epilogue History Collector. Epilogue provides historical performance information, and the nice thing about Epilogue is it gathers a variety of information content, response time, bottleneck data, subsystem data, and aggregates it in a timeline and context that makes it quite useful and interesting. We'll then talk about Transaction Reporting Facility, or TRF as it's commonly referred to. TRF is more detailed transaction-specific data, more granular, more detailed, larger quantity of data. Then we'll talk about the various historical collection facilities and options and things that are available within the Tivoli Enterprise Portal or the TEP. Talk a little bit about Tivoli Data Warehouse. We'll talk about some of the new exploitation that the version 4.1 of Omegamon XE for IMS provides and how you can take advantage of that to make history collection within Tivoli Enterprise Portal even more powerful and useful. Then I'll have several slides that just talk about summarizing the various options, talk about strategies, recommendations. I'll make other mentions along the way as we go about optimal ways that you can configure the tool, set up the tool, use the tool, recommendations on things such as collecting history in a more optimal and efficient fashion, etc. So going to the next slide, it says Omegamon XE for IMS V4.1, real-time components and facilities. This is just a quick review just to mention what you can do with Omegamon XE for IMS. From a real-time perspective, you can monitor your IMS subsystems, monitor all the key resources in the IMS subsystem. So that's going to include things such as your address spaces, the regions, all the various resources, the pools, monitor your databases, FastPath databases, HALDB, IMS Connect monitoring. In addition, there's exception and alerting capabilities. There's tracing facilities. If you're an N-way data sharing environment or using things like shared message queues, you can monitor from a Plex level, as I call it, as opposed to looking at individual subsystems. There's operational assist, control, command capabilities that are integrated within the tool, integrated automation capabilities. And then there's also the core collectors, as I call them, the analytic collectors. One is the response time analyzer, and the other is bottleneck analysis. Response time analysis, or RTA, will take transaction-level throughput data and then calculate counts of transactions, calculate average response times, and this data is then grouped and summarized by groups. The groups are user-definable. bottleneck analysis, in turn, works off of this same grouping mechanism and then does additional detailed analysis specific to where the workload is spending its time. Now, I mentioned these two collectors because these have relevance for historical as well as for real-time monitoring. So going to the next slide that says Omegamon XD for IMS V41 historical facilities, this lists the three major history collection facilities that we will be talking about at some length today. The first, as I mentioned, is the epilogue historical. That's historical analysis that will give us our response time analysis, data transaction, response time information, bottleneck detail, IMS resource data, etc., all kind of correlated by timeline and time interval. The data is stored in a VSAM file called an epilogue data store and is retrievable using either TSO interface commands or via batch reporting. TRF historical, transaction reporting facility historical, this is the more detailed transaction and database level detail information. This is information that's more useful from a chargeback or detailed performance analysis perspective. So TRF is the second collector. The third collector option is using the integrated historical facilities built into the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP. So this would include Omegamon XD's snapshot historical capabilities. This would include taking that snapshot history and sending it over to the Tivoli Data Warehouse, and then in turn exploiting the summarization, pruning, and analysis facilities built into the Tivoli Data Warehouse that may be exploited by Omegamon XE. So, three main options, epilogue, TRF, Omegamon XE historical, that you have at your disposal. Now, each of these has its own unique capabilities, its own unique levels of detail and granularity, its own unique benefits, and I'll talk more about the benefits and why you would use one versus another later on in the presentation. So going to the next slide that says Epilogue IMS Historical Analysis, Correlated Bottleneck RTA and System Data. And I think the word correlated is the key word to focus on the header of this slide, because I think that's ultimately the big value add of using Epilogue IMS. Epilogue takes that response time data, bottleneck data, and other system information, pool stats, CPU usage, virtual storage information, et cetera, and then correlates that together. So that way then, if you see a blip on the screen in terms of response time for a given application or some type of a backlog in the workload, you can then in turn look at other related system statistics to see what was going on for that time interval. Gives you another way to determine what may be going on and why workload may be slowing down. So the value add ultimately of Epilogue is the ability to take response time analysis data, bottleneck data, and correlate it with other system statistics and throughput stats. Just like with the real-time response time analyzer, Epilogue also allows for grouping. It's a similar mechanism. It's a separate mechanism from the real-time, but it has a similar makeup, if you will. It's controlled via control cards. I'll show an example of the control cards later on in this presentation. In general, the recommendation is if you're going to exploit response time analysis and bottleneck analysis for your real-time monitoring and you're going to use the groupings, which I always recommend you at least make some representative groups of critical applications or loved ones or problem children or however you define it. So if you're going to define these groups for real-time, you would probably want to make comparable groups for the epilogue historical as well, if you're going to run epilogue historical. The epilogue history collection runs as a subtask within the Omegamon classic collector address space. So it doesn't require a separate task like Omegamon ZOS, for example. It basically just runs as a subcomponent within the Omegamon classic address space. The data is collected, summarized and crunched down, and then stored in a VSAM file called an epilogue data store file. You'll have one of these files for each subsystem that's being monitored. So just like you have a one-to-one ratio of collector address spaces to IMS subsystems when we're talking Omegamon IMS, you have the same one-to-one ratio when we're talking the VSAM files. The nice thing about the way Epilogue gathers data is it gathers a lot of very interesting information. It does a nice job crunching it down so that you can have a lot of information over a fairly broad time span, but it crunches down to a fairly small quantity of data when we're talking in terms of tracks and cylinders of information. To retrieve the Epilog IMS data, you need to either access Epilog via TSO interface or via batch jobs. I'll show examples of some of the ISPF commands you can use, and I'll mention where you can get to some of the example batch jobs. So now, going to the next slide, let's talk a little bit about what is the meaning of RTA and DEXAN, and what those are about and why that's significant, and how in turn then you can leverage that using Epilog historical capabilities. So as I said before, Response Time Analyzer, RTA, will capture response time data from IMS and put the data into buckets or groups. The grouping mechanisms are based upon user-defined groups that you set up using a macro when you set up and configure and install a Megamon IMS on your given system. Response Time Analyzer measures queuing and service time through the IMS system. So you'll see, for example, what the average response time is for a group of related transactions. And how you define a group of related transactions is based upon this grouping macro that I mentioned there, the KOI-GBL macro. Bottleneck analysis works off the related groups, but takes that information and then breaks it down into more detailed subcomponents. In other words, it determines where the workload is spending its time and then calculates percentages so that you can see the percentage of time that the workload is using CPU or waiting for CPU, talking to a database, waiting for I/O, waiting for other events on the operating system, whatever. So the grouping mechanism concept applies to both RTA and the DEXAN. What Epilog in turn then does is it takes this RTA and DEXAN or bottleneck analysis data and then allows you to capture and store this information correlated in a history file along with other relevant subsystem stats such as address space, CPU usage, database, PSP work pool, pools, things like that. Those kind of statistics that you can then in turn correlate back to why throughput was bad for a given point in time. So going to the next slide, this shows some examples of what we're talking about when we're talking about response time analysis. So if you look closely at the top portion of the slide, top left, you see response time for several groups of workload, and the group names are defined over on the left. You see the in the parentheses, the count of transactions, and then average response time. And these groups, as I said, are user-definable based upon the KOI-GBL macro. In the lower portion of the screen, we see an example here of looking at response time data, but now we're looking at it through the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP. So the TEP provides a GUI interface. The TEP provides you with the ability to see what's been happening in terms of the response time data, but you can then in turn also take that tabular data and plot it out like I show in the one side of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal slide. You also then have the ability to take advantage of such things as additional filtering options and things like that when looking at the response time data. Also, if you look closely, you'll see that the response time data as viewed in the TEP has more precision in terms of going past the decimal point in terms of detail. So you get many more decimal points of precision when we're looking at the RTA data in the TEP. So going to the next slide, bottleneck analysis data. This just shows an example of the bottleneck data that you get from the real-time view and how basically what we're doing in this case is we're calculating out database weight percentages, MVS weight percentages, external subsystem, in other words, DB2 weight percentages. And these are counts and then calculate in terms of percentile weights from those counts. And this in turn shows where, in essence, the workload is spending its time. This is based on the same grouping mechanism as the response time analyzer. So the concept is then with Epilog, you have the ability to take this kind of real-time data and then capture and store it and retrieve it on an interval basis using the Epilog commands and retain it within the Epilog data store files. So going to the next slide, which says Epilog history written by classic collector address space to EDS vSAM file. So what we see here is an architectural type chart of a Megamon IMS. and we have the big box in the middle that says a Megamon IMS Classic Collector Address Space. So inside there is where the real-time would run, Epilogue Historical Collection would run. If you're running the TRF Historical Collection, that would run within there as well. You also see a separate box for the Omegamon CUA address space, and then there's also another box for the Omegamon XE agent address space. So depending upon the architecture, what you have enabled, etc., that will control what of these address spaces you may start. In terms of what address spaces correlate to what subsystems, you'll have an Omegamon Classic Collector address space for each IMS. So we see in our example here, we have an Omegamon Classic Collector that's looking at an IMS subsystem called IMSA. Now, just to make the chart more readable, I don't show all the various address spaces that make up the IMSA subsystem. Well, I'm just showing it as one, but the reality is technically, of course, you would have a control region, DBRC, etc. Now, off of Epilogue, I show Epilogue writing data to the EDS, or the Epilogue Data Store, which is a VSAM file. You can also optionally send it to SMF. That's purely up to you. There's no inherent advantage, per se, of sending it to SMF. It's just another option you have available. Going to the next slide, which says Epilogue Collector Startup Options. So just like you can gather response time, bottleneck type data using the real-time collector and gather that data into groups, and these groups are typically going to be critical applications, problem applications, whatever makes sense in your shop. Every place has its own set of key applications, and this is a nice way to target them. So just like you can take the real-time data and gather it into groups, the recommendation is if you're going to use Epilogue and build around this grouping concept, you want to have a similar set of groups for your Epilogue history collection. The Epilogue history collector, in terms of how you define the groups, is driven by control cards that are part of the setup and startup for the Omegamon IMS, so the various Arcan SAM members and things like that that drive the startup and the history collection options for Omegamon IMS. So in this example here, we have a group, group one, and in that group, we're going to put in transactions TR1, 2, and 3, and then also add in any workload that talks to PSB1. The SIM name option basically just gives it a high-level name, so you have a name that's more meaningful from a usability, readability standpoint than just group one. So that is how you would define the groups of related transactions, and you can wildcard and things like that as well. Other collector keywords include you can have the time interval for the collection be based off of the RMF interval, and then you have things like the DEG cycle option, which basically controls for the bottleneck analysis portion of this how frequently it will gather bottleneck data. So the DEG cycle 500 basically means 5 seconds. In other words, every 5 seconds, this will go out and sample bottleneck data. So by making the number smaller, you will basically gather more frequently, in essence. You can also turn off collection for certain types of related information. That's what the no RESC option does. Now, there are certain things that are more expensive to collect when we're talking Epilogue historical. And so devices and DASD info and things like that are more expensive to gather from an Epilogue IMS perspective. So if this is something you don't necessarily need to have Epilogue gather, you're getting that kind of information from other sources, then the recommendation is to turn those options off. And so you would take advantage of the no-res option and then specify which of these three things you might in turn then just switch off. This can save quite a bit of cycle usage relative to the overall usage of Epilogue. So, you know, if you want to run Epilogue but run it very lean and mean, you know, that's an option to consider. So now, going to the next slide that says Epilogue display commands. So we've gone through what is in the Epilogue data. We talked about the collection definition, where the data gets stored, and then various options you may consider in terms of how you collect the data. The next question then is how do you, you know, access the data? The data is accessible in a couple different ways. One way is you would just go into TSO and then invoke a CList that would in turn then start up the Epilogue TSO interface. Once you're in that interface, there's various commands you can use, but ultimately the most useful command is different variants of this display command that I show on this slide. when you boil it down, you're going to specify with the display command what type of display. Do you want to have a detailed display, GSUM, which means group summary, a summary display, or just display various resources? And by resource, we mean things like buffer pools, DASD, things like that. You then would specify the workload, and the workload would be the groups. Again, remember, you specified groups when you started up Epilog. You could have group one, group two, whatever. Then you'll have date time controls, start date, start time, end time. Then you can also specify exceptions. For example, you want to select a given workload item if average response time is greater than a certain level. So if you look at the example on the bottom, we're saying display the summary data for group one related workloads starting on the 27th and only select those time intervals where response time data is greater than 2 seconds. This is a nice easy way then to say, just show me for a certain type of workload for a given day, what intervals did I not meet a certain response time objective. The next slide shows another example of Epilog, and in this case we said display group, in this case it's the cash transaction, and it's for yesterday. That's what Y day means, is yesterday, and we'll display it only if response time again is above a certain number, and then we'll have summary lines for each. So in this example, we see those time intervals where we've hit that given exception, if you will, and then in turn we see the major wait reason. This is a bottleneck wait reason. In several cases, it was for I/O to the long message queue. To then in turn drill down and see the additional detail, this is where the true value add can be of Epilog, is you can enter in the ISPF interface a D command to the left line that you want to drill into. So that's D for detail, hit enter. And then in turn, that would take you to a more detailed display, which we see on the next slide. This slide at the top says Epilog Shell's historical bottleneck and RTA information. So here, what we see is our average response time transaction count. So this is our average throughput for this group of related transactions for this given interval. We then see in turn then the bottleneck analysis data down below that, and we'll see percentage wait time for things like MVS weights, IMS weights, other types of related weights, etc. And then you can also issue additional commands to zoom in for additional detail, resource information, etc. So like on this particular slide, I'm showing R to zoom in for resource detail for that given interval. You can also display resource information with display commands right on the top, which is what I show on the very next slide. So here, I'm showing this space RCMP. So basically what I'm saying is just show me the combined pool stats where I can see things like database work pool information, PSB work pool information for a given time interval. And then I can actually review my pool stats over periods of time simply by hitting enter to page through the various time intervals. Or I could have done this display command and then attached a certain date and time filtration to this as well. So this provides then the notion of the context in the sense that you can start from a high level, drill in, looking for a specific response time bottleneck issue, look at the response time data, look at the bottleneck data, look at the related pool information and statistics for that interval of time. And that's a very nice value add, the ability to have this correlated information in context that you can drill in and analyze one way to the other. That's what is, I think, the true value add of Epilog history. Going to the next slide that says Epilog History Sample Reports. There are sample reports that are provided with the tool. You go into the one of the sample libraries, TCAN-SAM, and there are several members that you can choose from that will have examples of these sample reports. And you can just run these as batch jobs, just point them at the appropriate VSAM file, and then off you go. These are nice sample reports. So it gives you a batch capability as well as the interactive real-time capability as well. So that's Epilog history. That is the that was the original historical capability that came with the Megamon IMS. Now, after Megamon IMS was rolled out with Epilog, now this is quite a few years ago, we also needed a more detailed historical analysis and collection capability. In other words, history data that would be more useful from a chargeback perspective, in that it gave you detail down to individual transactional schedulings. Epilog is granular down to the level of a time interval. So in other words, it's going to take everything that ran through a given 15-minute interval and give you summary statistics and information-related bottleneck data, et cetera, for that interval. But what if you need detailed information down to the level of an individual transactional scheduling, either for a performance analysis reason, or you want to use that history data for chargeback purposes, as well as just general troubleshooting or trending or things like that? That's where Transaction Reporting Facility, or TRF, comes into play, is that next step, that more detailed level of granularity. So I'm on a slide now that says Transaction Reporting Facility-TRF, and what TRF gathers is IMS performance information, including CPU time, virtual storage usage, elapsed time of various types of DLI calls, DB2 database calls, etc. You see message length, response time breakouts. TRF has batch as well as online data viewing capabilities. If we're talking the online data viewing capabilities of TRF, that would be accessible through the Tivoli Enterprise Portal or the TEP. So when we're talking TRF, we're talking multiple capabilities. At its core basis, we're talking generating records into the IMS log and then extracting those out via batch mechanisms and then using that detailed data for chargeback and trending and performance analysis. TRF also has a trace interface that's accessible via the CUA 3270 interface. And then you also have online TRF viewable data within the portal. And this is useful for what I would call a, quote, near-term historical analysis and trending perspective. So you can look at response time type data by trend, by class, et cetera. So TRF gives us that next level of granularity. So going to the next slide, that says TRF history data written to IMS log. So now what I've done is I've taken the picture that we had before, and I've added some additional boxes and circles to that. So from the looking again at the Omegamon Classic Collector address space, we see inside there the blue box that says TRF. So when TRF is enabled, TRF will write records optionally to the IMS log, and this would take the form of DLI detail records. So in other words, each transaction that executes, TRF has the option of going out and writing detail or summary records on a tran-by-tran basis. That data, once put in the IMS log, may then in turn be extracted via a batch utility and then goes to a TRF data store, which I show on the bottom right corner of the slide. Also, if you look in the left portion of the slide, you see an option that says online TRF data space. So if the so-called online option of TRF is enabled, data is buffered within this data space and then is viewable there, that data space would also be used for things like the trace facility, et cetera. So going to the next slide that says TRF collector options. You can say DLI on, off. Typically, you probably would want to have the DLI database call data. Fast path on or off. To save cycles, you might opt to not collect fast path data. Same thing for the BMP option. You know, by default, the BMP is enabled or set to on. That's one you might want to consider setting to off, because I think most places that typically use this mechanism are more interested in the real-time online-type transactional workload. There's an ONL DIS option that enables or disables the online data viewing mechanism. Probably the most important option I'll talk about a little bit more in a bit is the DBD option, which basically controls the level of summarization that's done by this collector. These various options are then contained within the Arcan PAR data set, and then in turn, at a Megamon startup, these options may be considered. And as I mentioned before, you can consider, in order to reduce the cost of collection, turning on or off options such as setting BMP to off, fast path off, things like that. What comes out of this from the batch perspective? So I've gone to the next slide that says TRF batch extractor utility output record formats. So you'll typically get in what we call an MSG record, one per transaction. This will show the transaction information, response time, CPU usage, virtual storage usage, et cetera, for the transcode in question. You also get a database record. There'll be optionally one per database call or a summary record. So how much summarization occurs is really a function of that DBD parameter. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. If you do only summarization, then you'll get basically one record for each database that's accessed by a given transaction. If you're doing database detail collection, then you could have one record for each DLI call. The next slide shows an example of the type of data you can get in one of these sample reports, just an example of what you can do with it. So here we see average response time type information for a given transaction code. We show the count of transactions and then the various response time buckets broken out by percentiles over time. So this is one nice little response time report. You can also get comparable type data as well for database level statistics reports, counts of DLI calls, elapsed times of DLI calls, etc. Can be quite useful information in terms of understanding database response times, accesses, etc. The next slide is where I talk a little bit about this DBD parm. So what I mentioned before is that the DBD setting basically controls the level of summarization. And this can be significant because the default is 5, which basically means if I set the option to 5, if the transaction talks to 5 or fewer databases, all I'll get is summary records for each respective IMS database. On that 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, I'll get detail. So if I set that option to 0, that means no summarization, therefore I get only detail records. Now, of course, if I'm getting only detail records, the quantity of data will go up as a result. So this DBD option then in turn directly impacts the quantity of data that is generated by T or F, and then in turn the quantity of data you have to yank back out of the IMS log when you create the TRF records, etc. So depending upon what your requirements are, you would want to consider that DBD option carefully, and that could also factor in terms of things like how many databases are typically accessed by the typical transaction, etc. If you're new to using this TRF mechanism, you can consider setting the options and then optionally turning TRF on or off using online commands or vary commands to the Megamon IMS address space, etc. The idea is you want to kind of get a feel for what the cost in terms of data collection, etc. is, since you do have the potential to collect a fairly hefty amount of data using TRF. So I do recommend that you test it out and just get comfortable with it before you turn it on in your high volume production type of environments. So TRF data volume is definitely going to be more than epilog history data volume. And so that's going to pose more challenges when we talk also about storage, retention, summarization of the data, etc. So we've talked about epilog historical. We've talked about transaction reporting facility history data. The next major facility, if you will, is the history collection, retention, gathering, and summarization capabilities that are kept within the Tivoli Enterprise Portal infrastructure itself. Because a Megamon XE for IMS plugs and plays within this overall architecture of what we call the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP, there are inherent history capabilities that come included with the TEP itself. This includes snapshot history data that may be in turn sent to the Tivoli Data Warehouse. There's also some online TRF data viewing and response time analysis data capabilities that come with the TEP as well. So my general suggestion is exploit the power of the TEP. Take advantage of what I think the TEP is really good at, which is the ability to gather the snapshot data and then in turn take that snapshot data and trend it and look at it over time. So the TEP data is good from a trending analytics standpoint over a period of time. The next slide shows an example of looking at TRF type data using the TEP. So here's an example of where we're looking at some of the online TRF data. And so we see this data broken out by trend name on the left. We see a transaction count. We see response time buckets. Then we also see DLI counts as well. So this is data that you can view using the Tivoli portal. But then you can also, in addition to the tabular view that we show here, You can take create bar charts with it, as I show in this example, or also even just take a plot chart and plot this data out over time. So the trending and plotting capabilities can be quite useful when we're talking about taking the data and looking at it from a portal perspective. So the online TRF capability can be quite nice when looked at from the Tivoli Enterprise portal. And this is an example of one of the typical kind of displays you can get using the TEP with a Megamon XE for IMS. So going to the next slide, same concept as well when we're talking RTA data that can be perused within the TEP. So here we see our RTA groups, what the group number is, and then we show the average response times, input queue times, processing times, out queue times, etc., for each of these groups of related transactions. And just like with the online TRF data, you can also then in turn take and plot this stuff over time. And on the next slide, I show an example of how you can also then in turn play with the or set the duration for the plot charts. So you can scroll the plot duration. There's like a little scroll bar mechanism there to control the duration of the plot chart. So you could take one of the default views and then in turn change around the layout of it, change the duration of the plot chart, and then also I'll show some other examples of where the Tivoli portal becomes quite useful from a trending and plotting perspective. So going to the next slide that says, Tivoli Enterprise Portal adds additional historical capabilities. So what we're looking at in this particular example then is now we've talked about the history capabilities in terms of epilogue, in terms of TRFs. Now I've added some additional circles that say history, and then I see show the history data warehouse as well. So if you look at the Megamon XE agent, you have the option of gathering history data at the level of the agent, and that's what I show there with that history portion there. Also, you see that history data can then in turn get sent to the Tivoli Enterprise Management Server, or the TEMS, and you can also then in turn optionally be sent to the history data warehouse or the Tivoli data warehouse, depending on how you prefer to term it. So this additional history is a snapshot type history, and this is using the snapshot mechanisms that come with the Tivoli Enterprise portal and is pretty much standard across all the various Tivoli monitoring capabilities. So going to the next slide that says snapshot history collection controlled via the TEP. If you click on the toolbar, there's a calendar icon that's on the toolbar, and this gets you into the dialog that lets you specify the history collection options. So you can specify what history to gather, where you want to keep it, how much of it you want to keep. So this is where you can specify what is your collection interval. You can specify the collection location. The collection location is specified in the middle, and you can either say TEMA or TEMS. So the TEMA would be at the level of the agent, and the TEMS would be at the level of the management server. You can also specify the warehousing option. And this is where you would specify by warehouse interval. Basically, this is saying how often it gets sent to the warehouse, once a day, once an hour. And this may or may not be a factor depending upon the quantity of data that's being sent, the number of managed systems you're gathering history for, et cetera. Now, if you look in the middle under the attribute groups, basically think of it as the Megamon XE IMS portion of this tool is gathering tables of related information. So really what you're specifying here is that, like, for example, for the dependent region statistics, we have a set of related dependent region statistics, rows of tables of information. So in other words, the agent gathers this data for real-time viewing. We're basically then in turn saying, take that data and send it off to the history mechanisms and harden and store it. And so you can turn on history for some tables of related information, leave it off for others, and you would just select it, specify your options, and then towards the bottom you see a button you click that says start collection. And that's how you start collection for that particular item, related group of items of information. So going to the next slide that says use the TEP to see IMS historical performance data. What you would do is you would click on the icon that would let you then in turn say what time interval you want to see the related data for. And so you could say, show me, like in this example, the last 2 hours, and you can specify whether you want to use detailed data or summarized data. You can specify custom time intervals as well. And then once you click OK, you would get the data that's shown in the bottom portion here. So here we're seeing dependent region data for a given interval of time. And this is showing when it was recorded, what the task was, CPU time, TCB time, et cetera, type of information. You can click on the column headers to sort the information, in this case by address space, and you can sort by any of the various columns, use filter options, et cetera. Going to the next slide, Megamon XE4.1 expanded history support and flexibility. One of the things that was added in terms of exploitation of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal infrastructure with version 4.1 is support for the summarization and pruning agent. The summarization and pruning capability is something that's been available in various other Tivoli performance and availability monitoring solutions for a while, but now with the 4.1 and Megamon IMS version, this support has also been added specific to a Megamon XE for IMS. Basically, what summarization and pruning is about then is it takes the data that you're gathering on an ongoing basis using the collection capabilities of the Megamon portal, the Tivoli portal, and then taking those snapshot rows and then summarizing it based upon criteria that you specify and also pruning the data at a given time interval. So the idea then is you can control the quantity of data that's kept around. The premise then is basically you'll probably keep a certain amount of detailed data for a certain period of time, and then in turn you'll probably summarize it. And you might summarize it by day, month, week, hour, whatever makes sense. And then once the data is of no longer of use to you, then you would have the pruning agent portion of this go ahead and prune it off and basically clear the data out so you can control the quantity of data that's retained on an ongoing basis. Summarization and pruning is configured and set up where you have the Tivoli data warehouse residing, and this is a mechanism that runs typically once a day. So going to the next slide, this says history collection control for summarization and pruning. So what we're looking at this example here is now we've turned on the warehouse interval, so we're saying warehouse the data once a day. We've had our other options we talked about. And then also you can do summarization. And so you look, you can summarize yearly, quarterly, monthly, daily, hourly, whatever. And then also here we've also clicked all the various pruning options. And we'll say how long we keep that certain level of data for, you know, like the yearly, how many years, the quarterly, how many years, et cetera. And so just think of it as when you enable these various summarization tables and things like that, there are, in essence, additional tables that are being defined and created and managed within the Tivoli warehouse. So to get the summarized data, what we're going to do then is we're going to the next slide now. We're going to click on the clock icon again, and we're going to say use summarized data as opposed to use detailed data. And then we'll get a similar pop-up to what we showed before, but here instead of getting things on like a 5-minute or a 15-minute detail interval level, we'll get data that's been summarized in an hourly level, just because in this particular case, that's what we're pulling back. So in this case then, you can specify then to show summary data as opposed to detail data. And again, what's nice then is you can have data that might be kept for a longer period of time, and you can control the quantity that's kept around, and what makes it nice is this data then in turn can be used effectively for trending and analysis purposes. So for example, let's look at an example of this. Let's go to the next slide where it says use data for trend analysis. So in this particular case, I just click the icon that shows that's like the plot chart tool icon. I click it and I drag it down to where the tabular data is, drop it on there. And so then I'll get a pop-up that will say, well, what do you want to plot? And I select a couple columns, and then in turn click OK. And then what I'll get is a plot chart, such as what I see below, that will take that data and plot it over the relevant time that I see on the that I had on the prior report. So in this case, then, you can interactively go request data. Once you get the data you want to see, you can sort it or filter it, or you can plot it simply by taking the icon, click, drag, drop, and then off you go. So going to the next slide that says the value of summarization and pruning. Summarization and pruning expands the flexibility of the history data collection. So you can keep your detailed tables for the last 24 hours or so and then have summary tables for longer term data. Basically, summarization then allows you to keep more information, more relevant information on an ongoing basis And what's nice is that the pruning mechanism then in turn lets you control the quantity of data in the and the collection and retention, automates that collection and retention, if you will. So it becomes less of a manual process. One of the things as well that's nice about history integrated with Intivil Enterprise Portal is you have ease of access, ease of use to be able to get at the data. So what I want to do in the next few slides is just kind of summarize what we've been talking about the various options. So when we're talking epilogue historical, the value of epilogue historical collection is you get a very broad array of workload, bottleneck, IMS subsystem performance information. What it does then is in turn is it correlates that data, correlates it by workload, pulls in the bottleneck percentile breakdowns, and gives you the performance information broken down by time interval. And so it's that correlation capability of epilogue that I think that makes it quite useful. You have all sorts of interactive commands, wherein you can do display commands to display workload for a given time, to display resource usage for a given time, drill downs, exception-based commands, etc. Once you know and understand the commands, it's fairly easy to retrieve the data. Epilogue is nice because there's a relatively small quantity of data that's being gathered, but the analytic value of the data can be very nice. The shortcoming, if you will, of epilogue is that the granularity is limited to the level of the group and to the time interval. So this is not chargeback type data, but it's very useful data from just the perspective of being able to do performance analysis and drill down analysis and things like that. So going to our next slide that says TRF summary. So transaction reporting facility is more granular than epilogue. Transaction reporting facility gives us our detailed individual transactional level type information. So it's going to be the most detailed data collection mechanism that's part of the Omegamon XE for IMS suite. This is where you would get the data that's useful for chargeback purposes. Now, because the data is more detailed, because you get the data down to the level of the individual transactional scheduling, of course, you're going to then potentially have a larger quantity of data collection. So therein, that's where you need to start considering the cost of collection, the cost of retention, the cost of extraction, analysis, etc. And this is where you want to look at things like how's your batch mechanism set up to pull this data out of the IMS log. This is where, as I said before, you might want to consider doing some testing in a test environment before you would turn this on in a full-blown production environment. There are the online extensions to TRF, the tracing facilities, the online TRF viewing mechanisms. This gives you a way to basically get snippets of that type of information for specific periods of time to see what's happening from a transaction or a scheduling class kind of level and see DLI counts, etc. But if you need full-blown chargeback historical type data, TRF is probably the mechanism you would look at to get that level of data. The next slide, the TEP summary. So epilogue is our summarized by group workload analysis, resource usage type interface. Transaction reporting facility is the deep dive detail for detail and individual transactions. The next big piece is, of course, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal and the Tivoli Data Warehouse History. So the TEP provides our history collection and retention, and the value of the TEP history is that it integrates very nicely and directly within the real-time capabilities of the Tivoli Portal. TEP history is built around the notion of snapshot history. So it's time interval in nature, and its granularity is limited to the intervals that you specify. The quantity of data that you're going to get with the Tivoli data warehouse history is a function of how often you gather the data, and of course how many managed systems, how many related rows of information. So the quantity of data can vary quite a bit based basically on how much you're asking for. The nice thing about the history data that's gathered using Tivoli Enterprise Portal is you then in turn can take advantage of the summarization and pruning and automated collection capabilities that are built into the Tivoli Enterprise Portal infrastructure. The TEP data is most useful from a trending and workload analysis perspective. This is where you can take advantage of the Tivoli data warehouse to keep data for long periods of time and then go back and peruse through that data for those periods of time. And that's where ultimately its strength is from an online trending. And then, of course, you can also take advantage of the TEP for your online TRF response time analysis, et cetera. So, just to summarize, on the next slide now, epilogue, correlated workload information, limited granularity, relatively small amount of data, but can be very valuable. Transaction reporting facility, the most detailed data collection, chargeback transactional type data, potentially large quantity of data. And then finally, the Tivoli portal. Snapshot history, granularity limited by time interval, quantity of data, collection may vary, but the retention is automated, ease of access and use is very high. So each of these facilities has its own benefits, its own unique capabilities, and so it really comes down to then what are your requirements, what type of history data do you need, how do you like to look at systems, and that in turn then drives probably which of these facilities you may opt to use. Going to our next slide, I have a couple of references. One points towards a CCR2 article that's available from IBM.com that talks about this stuff in additional detail over and above what we've discussed here. And then I also mentioned some of the relevant Omegamon XE for IMS manuals that are available for download as well. So we'll talk, here's the manual references for the Epilog User's Guide, Reference Manual, Transaction Reporting Facility, etc. And so with that, that is the core of the presentation. Now I'll turn it back over for questions and things like that, and I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to today's webcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with our presenter, and your feedback is important to us, and we appreciate the time that you take to answer these questions. Now, to participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Now, let's get started. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to an opportunity to respond. Moving on to question 2. What was the level of technical information presented in this conference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, we'll pause for a moment, allowing everyone an opportunity to answer. Please stand by. Moving on again to question 3. Do you currently use Omegamon for IMS? If yes, press star 1, and if no, star 2. And now question 4. We hope you enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If you would, if yes, press star 1, and if no, star 2. Now that concludes our survey, and thank you for participating. Now let's move on to our questions. To ask a question, simply press the star key followed by the digit 1. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And once again, to our phone audience, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1. Remember, if you are using a speakerphone, to turn off your mute function before signaling. Again, that's star 1, and let's pause for just a moment. We have one question in our queue. Let's move to Robert Carter.
Yes, I've got a question about TRF.
Yes.
The online tariff data space, is that dynamically created through the online options when you start and stop TRF?
Yeah. When you bring up Omegamon, for example, you'll see in the startup messages the creation of the data space, et cetera. You'll see eye-catcher messages in the startup of the collector task that will tell you that that's occurred.
So is that, you can use that independent of actually capturing the records in the IMS log?
It's a separate mechanism, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And we have no further questions in our queue at this time, Mr. Woods.
Well, very good. Thank you to everyone for attending. I enjoyed doing this presentation. There's additional presentations we'll be doing later on this year. We'll be talking about Omegamon IMS and as well as Omegamon DB2, talking about best practices for situation creation, among other things. We've done a series of these webcasts this year, and I've enjoyed it quite a bit and look forward to doing more. And I just want to thank everyone for taking the time and the attention.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference call. We appreciate your participation and have a good day.